We pray, God, that this gospel not be in word only, but in power, the Holy Ghost, and much assurance, in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that men's faith can be in you and your demonstration and your love. Open my eyes that I may see what you're saying, and my ears that I may hear, and everybody around me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. John's Gospel, chapter 15. John, pay close attention. John's Gospel, chapter 15. If you want to be fruitful in any spiritual activity, that's your chapter, John 15. If you want to be fruitful in any spiritual activity, that's your chapter, John 15, all right? I just want to look at one of the pivotal verses, the seventh verse. I want you to see the seventh verse. Seventh verse, a very familiar verse, said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, we talked about meditation Sunday, you remember? That's a powerful verse, John. Now, verse to go along with it, I should read more, John 15, and read down six or seven verses, and you'll see some things about pruning and cleansing and connection and consecration and those type of things. And First John now, chapter 5, verse 14. No, I don't want to go there first. First John 2:27 first. Because I want to get these two abiding. What I'm going to talk about, you're going to need to have to be abide in the word, and you're going to have to abide in the anointing. You got it down? Abiding in the word and abiding in the anointing. That combination has to be in place for what I'm going to talk about tonight. Okay. But the anointing what you have received of him abideth. That's that word abideth again, you see. So you got abide in word and abide in anointing. Say abide in word.
Abide in word.
And abide in anointing.
Abide in anointing.
But the anointing what you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and it's true, and it's no lie, and even as it has taught you, you should add a word again. You should abide in him. So we got these two abiding, the abiding of the word and the abiding of the anointing. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now go to 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. Now you can't get to 1 John 5, 14 and 15 without John 15, 7 and 1 John 2, 27. Come on, I want you to walk with me now. See, now, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Where that confidence come from? Abiding in the word. You got the word in you. He said it and you know it. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, where we get that from? Mm-hmm. He hears us, you see it? All right, now go on to the 15th verse. And if we know that he hears, should I read any further? Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have. The petitions, plural, I want you to read it now, that we desired of him. I want to talk about tonight, and it's so important to apostolically train you in prayer. How to stabilize and sanctify your prayer life. How to stabilize and sanctify your prayer life. Very, very important that your prayer life be stable and that it be sanctified. And it will take the word of God and the anointing and the Holy Spirit to do both. But it will tie you into 1 John. John 15, 7 said, if you abide in me, my word abide in you. He said, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, right? And this is the confidence, 1 John 5, 4, this is the confidence we have in him. We ask anything according to his will, he hears, and we know he hears, we know. We're not guessing, we know we have the petition that we desire of him, all right? How to stabilize and sanctify your prayer life. Now we're going to cover some territories, might be a little cutting in here tonight, but you need to be cut sometime. To find out what's going on. All careless prayer must be stopped tonight. Careless prayer, just talking. Talking, not paying no attention to God, just talking because you want to do it as a duty. No, you're going to have to be mindful when you're praying, because prayer is a two-way street. You talk and God talk. You can't pray without God talking. If you do all the talking, God, you have not prayed. Okay? You must know how to develop, listen to this, an unstoppable prayer life that is always making full contact with God on purpose. Mm-hmm. Unstoppable prayer. I don't care what come up, what time it is, I have to have time to pray. I'm not going to let nobody, nothing, stop my prayer life, not even vacation. Yes, sir. Do you know, if you don't understand what I'm saying tonight, that success will stop your prayer life? Some people praying just because they're unsuccessful. And they believe that prayer gonna bring them to success. But he's not gonna let you get there until you learn how to pray. Because you get the success and you're not stabilized and sanctified in prayer, you gone. Because if you're approaching God just for what you can get, when you get it, God over. So don't let nothing stop you. The stabilization and the sanctification is to let you know there's such a love for God, you want to talk to him. Right, now watch this. You must know how to develop an unstoppable prayer life that is always making full contact with God on purpose. Oh, my sisters and brothers, listen to this. I'll get to the points in a minute. Not forcing yourself to pray, but flowing in willful prayer. Yes. Not forcing. Oh, my. Now, what are you talking about, Apostle? Well, many people are praying because they are forced to pray. They are not praying willfully, so therefore they are not praying. Prayer carries, listen to me, a divine intimacy with it. It's a divine love. It's a connection that you don't want nobody to mess with. So if you have to force yourself to pray and you're not flowing, force flowing. Oh, your body might act up sometime, but just tell it, shut up. We're going to pray today. Your body says, oh, my. See, if I pray too much, you're going to take over. So your body trying to shut you down. You know, say, I'm tired. Shut up. I ain't through praying yet. I'll add 20 minutes on me. You're going to pray. All right? So if you have to be forced to pray, you're not a prayer. Praying is a anointing of flowing, of knowing God and want to be in his presence by yourself. Yes. Me and God. Thank you, Father. Yes. I love you, Jesus. Real prayer. Yes. So if you force to pray, it's going to turn out to be a formula prayer. It's not going to be a faith prayer. Yeah. All right? So I want to train you how to stabilize and how to sanctify your prayer life that you get so much results by just talking with him, not acting for nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. All right, now notice this. Not forcing yourself to pray, but flowing in willful prayer. Flowing in willful prayer. Flowing in willful prayer. I want to be here, God. And then becoming personally aware of the power and benefits of a real prayer life. Becoming personally aware. I want you to be personally aware of the power and benefit of a real prayer life. It'll take you a while to develop it, but that intimacy will come, that love will come, that desire to come, that agreement will come, and you want to pray all the time. Lord, can I talk to you? Yeah. Okay. All right. The benefits of knowing how to pray. Becoming personally aware of the power and benefit of a real prayer life. Massive understanding about your new prayer life. I want to build that in you tonight. Massive understanding about your new prayer life. Not just praying to get what you need or want, but to know him and his will. Not just praying to get what you need or want, but praying because you want to know his will. Now, when you do that, your needs and wants are going to be taken care of. All right? When you're praying for his purpose, his plan, that's the way to develop a strong, loving prayer life. A strong, loving prayer life. Well, you can't wait to be in his presence. To learn how to keep pleasing him at all times. Can't wait. It's me and God. It's not how long you pray, it's how strong you pray. People praying a long time, wrong. Such things as Jeremiah 33:3, look at that. Call upon me, and I'll answer you and show you a great and mighty thing. What? Now, if that voice becomes real to you, Jeremiah 33:3, I think that's the voice. That's it? What did it say? I'll answer and show you a great things. Look, listen. Things coming up in my spirit now. Things you can't find out about from nobody else. About your life, about your situation, about your assignment, whatever it is. He has a tendency to show you things that nobody else can show you. Once you begin to experience it, I've experienced it over the years. I've been a prayer for 47 years. Once you begin to experience it, man, what a dream world. What a dream life. I mean, you have audience with the Father, audience with Jesus, audience with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Are you following it? Yes. And so prayer is really a divine romance. Yeah. Write that down. Yeah. It's a divine romance. You done fell in love. Mm-hmm. Are you following it? It's not something that somebody can whoop you across the head to do. Turn with me to Luke. You saw Jeremiah 33:3, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, turn with me to Luke 11 and 1. Luke 11 and 1. I want to show you something. You looking at it? All right. Now, out of all the things, the disciples didn't actually teach me how to pray, teach me how to preach, teach me how to dance. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, he was a prayer. Said Jesus was a prayer.
Jesus.
How many of y'all want to be like him? See, Jesus did not do anything until he was able to see what the Father did. That's why his life was so blessed. He was following Father's instruction. What a privilege it is we have tonight. Listen to me, saint. We have the ability to follow Father's instruction through prayer. When nobody else knows what to do, that prayer is going to step up and know exactly what to do. Because the Father has shown them what he would do. That's why Jesus' ministry was so successful. Jesus wasn't doing nothing just to be doing it. He saw the Father do it first. What kind of life would you have when you start seeing what the Father would do about this situation? What God would do about this? And God whisper in my ear during prayer, say, this is the way I would handle it. Then back me up to make it come to pass. Whatever you're dealing with tonight, here, online, whatever you're dealing with tonight, just get a whisper from God. You get to praying and seeking God first and stabilize your prayer life and sanctify your prayer life and stay connected and stay clean and seek God first, and God will tell you what he would do with every situation. That's why, let me repeat myself now. That's why Jesus' ministry was so successful. Jesus was not out there just doing things. In his prayer time, he saw a divine movie. Prayer has an internet all by itself. And it revealed to you things that the average person would never know, but because you're in the spirit and because you're praying, you know what to do because you're hearing from the Father. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say I'm getting this.
I'm getting this.
All right, now. Then he asked Jesus and his counterpart that he was praying. Jesus was praying, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
In a certain place. Now, these guys have seen the results of Jesus praying. They have been around him. He was a prayer. He prayed all night sometimes. That's why when they went to arrest him, he said, never, I ain't putting my hand on man. Never man speak like this man. You go get him. When you pray, you're not natural anymore. You speak with the voice of God. When the word come out of your mouth, it's just like coming out of Jesus' mouth. Because you're tuning. That's what prayer. Tuning to God's will, God's plan, God's purpose, God's insight, God's light. Are you following me? Now, and then we go over to Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. He said, don't come to me with all this repetitious stuff.
Yes. That's
right. Sam old. Let me teach you how to pray. Don't come to me with your written out prayer. Talk to me with intimacy. Yeah. Talk to me like you're talking to another person.
Yeah.
Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. See, you can go through rituals and routine prayer and never operate in revelatory prayer. Prayer carries divine revelation with it. A person who pray walk in the light. See, any one of y'all can do it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
The Holy Ghost said, tell them I want to stabilize their prayer, that nothing can shake you from this night forward. I don't care what the report come on the news, it won't shake you because you're a stabilized prayer.
Yeah.
And you got plenty contact with God.
Yeah.
Huh? It's a kingdom prayer that can't be shaken.
Yeah.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth, as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. See, when you're a prayer, you know all that connected to you.
Yeah.
So no matter what disease come out, no matter what the government say, will kill babies and all that, you not for that, you bind that.
Amen.
Is it hot in here? I'm just hot. It's just me? Well, y'all ain't got the Holy Ghost. Y'all ain't hot. Now, verse 5 through 15 in Matthew 6, I might not go to it, but I'm going to tell you, read it because all that saying is not what he's talking about. Saying is not praying. Woo.
Come on now.
What I say? No, you got to have some spirit in what you're saying. You got to have some insight. You got to have. That's why one of the greatest way to pray is present His word back to Him.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Pray the word. Yeah. Write that down. Pray the word. Don't pray in tongue all the time. Sometimes meditate and pray the word to Him. Present His word back to Him.
Yes, sir.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to catch this because we're talking about stabilizing and sanctifying your prayer life. Because here's a little secret I learned many, many years ago in Philippians chapter 4. Turn there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to talk to you about that a few minutes. I wrote this note for you, and I want you to catch it just like that. There's an unending lesson in prayer waiting for us to tap into. And I'm going to share it with you how the Lord shared it with me. In Philippians 4, 7, there's an unending lesson in prayer waiting for us to tap into, and we're going to tap into it tonight. In Philippians 4, 7. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every now and then, wet the atmosphere.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Say something out of your mouth. Say something. Don't let the other person down the row say it for you. Say it for yourself. Open your spirit up so God can talk to you. You're about to change a whole lot of things in your life. Now, I want you to see this unending lesson in prayer. I want you to catch this lesson. In Philippians 4, 6, you there?
Yes, sir.
It says, be careful for what?
Nothing.
See, a person who prays, they don't care. They know it's already worked out.
Yeah.
See, be careful for nothing. You can't, when you're a prayer, you can't be careless. Because you live on the conviction that the Lord is with me. Talk to me up in here. Say,
the Lord is with me.
As long as I keep praying. Now watch this now. I want you to catch this lesson. In Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing. And one translation, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by what?
Prayer.
All right, now prayer. Prayer, one thing. Prayer. Now you say something else. And supplication. Supplication here, I want to give you a definition, is finding oneself. See, a lot of times we think it's a shopping list. But if you look up in the Greek, it has a, you got to locate yourself when you're praying. Finding yourself. So watch now, watch. Next, Thanksgiving. Huh? We ain't asked for nothing yet. Now, y'all, what he's asking prayer. Give God a little, give him a little. I thank you, I love you so much. Lord, could you do this for me? See, prayer consists of relationship and fellowship. See, I'm going to tell you right now, and I want you to hear this clear. God is not going to let you use him.
Amen.
He's not going to do it. He's not going to let you use him because it's dangerous. So he says, so prayer, supplication, two. Third thing is thanksgiving. See that? And then make your request. Don't tell me that's not a lesson. Don't tell me that. See, I'm showing, the Lord is showing us, spend some time. Get hooked up. Give me some thanks. Pray. Pray for others. Then make your request. Now, some people think prayer is just requests. But it's not. Prayer actually is fellowshipping with God. I love you. I love you. Don't ever ask nothing. Just get up. I love you. I thank you so much for what you already have done. You're such a good God. You've taken care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. Come on now. Everybody in your fitness, right? I really want to give that prayer action, acts, seeking and knocking. I really be about him. Action. Let me get closer to you. Drawing out of God, he'll draw near you. Seeking. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right, so that's a lesson for you to learn. Don't just have request prayer. All right? Oh, somebody done dropped their cup now. Now, prayer must be intimate before they can be real. And the voice I'm going to is going to be powerful. Intimate. It must be, it's a relationship. It's a love. It's not just a request, but revelation is greater than requests. Praying and revelation come out, you might not have to make no requests. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? God already know what you need. No, God already know what you want. And he can supply both. If you give yourself to him in prayer and thanksgiving and praise and love. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. We're talking about stabilizing and sanctifying your prayer life. Prayer is always conditional. If you abide in me. If my word abide in you. You ever got another if? If my people. Which are called by my name. Look what he did. For you want to do something. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek what they can get. And seek my faith and turn. Uh-oh. You mean tell me to pray I got to get, stop being wicked? Oh. Turn from your wicked ways. Now look what he said after that. Then. So it seemed like nothing gonna happen before. Let me go back over this. If my people, which are called by my name, it's not enough just to be called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. See, because once you see his face, you're going to turn from your wicked ways. I say, once you see his face, you're going to turn from your wicked ways. I say, once you see his face, you're going to turn from your wicked ways. I just don't want to be wicked no more. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been a little wicked? I'm the only one? I don't want that life no more. I've seen the light. I've seen the glory. I almost want to preach right now. I don't want that wicked way no more. Intimacy. Closeness. Walking with God. Talking to God. Sometimes you feel His hand on you. And then you just start crying. Just can't help it, man. It's just so good. Just get in the presence of God while you're praying. Oh, my goodness. If you never have it, you never had it. Get it quickly. So he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, humble yourself. You see, you can't pray without being humble. Yes, sir. At the name of Jesus. Yes, sir. Every now and then you got to get on your knees. Yes, sir. I know we pray walking and riding golf carts like I do, but every now and then you got to get on your knees. Yes. Humble yourself. All right. And seek my face. When the last time you was seeking His face in your prayer time? Now, not seeking your faith to get what you want. That ain't seeking His faith, nor His will. And turn from thy wicked ways, then would I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Isn't that something? Look at the 15th verse. Look at the 15th verse. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Now my eyes shall be open. I don't only have in real prayer, you don't only get God's ears, but you get His eyes. I see what you're going through. Here's the solution. I see what way you should turn. Let me tell you what way to turn. Because some ways I'm going to tell you to turn not going to look right to your natural mind. But you got to trust me. In other words, you need something worked out. And I see what to do, but it's not normal. See, you don't live a normal life when you pray. People wonder about you. They say, what is she doing? But you're following Him, and what He tell you to do look like it's not the right thing. Because psychology and science and the intellect says, oh, that's not going to work. But you're talking to a man in the country who have had, how many jets I've had? 4 paid for jets. The first one I know in ministry flying in a Falcon 900. I got some other boys got it after me, but Darryl went first. I don't know how, but him. You follow what I'm saying? See, I drove my Jeep to lunch. But later on that day, I drove my G-Wagon. They don't drive just alike. They don't ride alike. I don't care what you get upset. I'm going to tell you this. They don't ride alike. The Jeep is nice, but the G-Wagon is just... The Jeep don't cause many people to hit their brakes. But the G-Wagon, they run all offside the road. Who is that? What? That's what happens when you got a real prayer life. In the spirit like that. You got to have G-Wagon prayer. No, stop praying like a Jeep. You got it. Satan do not want you to learn how to pray. He don't want you to know the importance of consistent prayer. He don't want you to know how to pray, and he don't want you to know the importance of consistent prayer because you become his master if you pray right. Turn to. Oh, my goodness. 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Say, my life changing.
My life changing.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. And look at the next verse. What does it say? Pray without. You don't, that person, the only one got up. What kind of Bible y'all got there? You ought to have an index Bible so you can move a little faster. Listen, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In everything,
yes, sir.
Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. They should quench not the spirit. I think a proudest life quenched the spirit. Grieve the Holy Ghost. Because the Lord loves you so much. The Lord wants to do so much for us. But he just wants us to know his purpose, his plan. And you can't know it without praying. Now, we have said enough in here tonight to stabilize and sanctify your prayer life. If you're listening, your prayer life is changed already. You see, it's really not how long you pray, it's how strong you pray. Satan don't want you to learn how to pray. He wants you to learn songs and everything else, but he don't want you to learn how to pray. Knowing God's threefold decree of prayer, I want you to look in Psalm. It's a scripture you haven't seen yet. What? That's a brave statement. In Psalm 2, 6. Prayer, the threefold decree of prayer, was prophesied. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Go to the 7th verse. Psalm 2:7 now. I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Keep going. Go to the 8th verse. The 9th verse. Ask of me. So he decreed prayer. You see it? Ask of me. Prayer is a decree. Prayer is not a decision you make. God decreed, if you don't pray, I can't help you. She said, ask of me. He decreed that. He decreed that you ask of him. And I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Oh, my God. Look what it says. I'll give it all to you. The heathen can't stop you. I'll give you what they got. Y'all not hearing me. You can't stop a prayer from being blessed. I want y'all to pray personally, and don't make it a duty, don't make it a hardship. It's the glory of God helping you out to go places you've never been before. Are you here? You see that? Now, give me that night voice. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter vessel. You don't mess with somebody who prays. Prayer will break you up. Prayer, you mess with somebody praying, you destroying yourself. Y'all listening? I'm about to close. I'm a close. Y'all listening? I'm a close. Y'all listening? So, you got Psalm 2, 6 through 9. Now back it up with Matthew 7, 7 through 9. Action should be given, seekers shall find, knock the door be open. See it? Now I want you to hear this. This came out of the spirit world. And this didn't come out in no book. This came out of the spirit world. I lack it myself. Prayer is the divine doorbell. When you learn how to ring it. You ain't gonna find that in no book nowhere. Now write it down. Prayer is the divine. So tomorrow or the night before you go to bed, when you pray, you know you're ringing the divine doorbell, and God said, I'll open the door that no man can close. a closed door. No man can open. Think about it. From now on now, you know prayer is ringing a divine doorbell in heaven. I never heard that before. You ever heard it before? No, I never heard it before. I heard it from the Spirit, though, to preach to you tonight. The remnant. I'm preaching to the remnant. I ain't worrying myself. I'm told a few what they need to do. I'm preaching to the remnant. I mean, I had a statement I made went viral. Millions of people went after it. And they didn't come no further to see. Just a little race thing about blackness and all that. They don't know how much revelation they go viral on that. It's supposed to be here tonight. Go viral on prayer. Not just no statement. Come on, listen to me what I'm saying. You ready for another statement? Your developed prayer life puts you in a commander position. Isaiah 45:11. Your developed prayer life. All them little Mickey Mouse things you're dealing with right now, they're over. You just listen to this over and over again. Your developed prayer life puts you in a commander's position. Thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask of me things in the, to come concerning my son and concerning the work of my hand. What command ye me? When you pray properly, I'm going to permit you to do like I do. You're going to have authority that nobody can stop. The government, the president, the vice president, the government, nobody. Nobody can stop it. It's higher. Let me hurry. Look at the 12th verse. Let's say I'm moving. 45:12. Isaiah 45:12. Look at that. I have made the earth and created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Prayer, I'm telling you, make you a commander. A demander and a commander. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Some here are some evidence of prayer power. Turn to Genesis 20 quickly. Genesis 20, verse 17. I'm going to give you 4 or 5 of these. This ought to hold you. Here are some evidence of prayer power. What do I say? Evidence of what?
Prayer.
Genesis 20. 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Amalek and his wife and his maidservant, and they bare children. Now they're supposed to be cursed. Go to the next verse, 18 verse. Read the whole story, you'll see it. Go to the 18th verse. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Amalek because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. He had messed up. But because Abraham prayed, God opened it up.
Yes.
Nothing no man from this night forward can shut up on you. You give somebody else that promotion, God will shut that plant down. I know a man messing with my wife, and my wife told him, you don't play that. And my wife not a talkative person like that. She said, you don't play that. You're going to face that again. He was demoted. He got on a plane. Me and my wife were flying first class. He had to go to coach. He spoke sheepishly. Child of God praying, you got something on your hand. I want everybody to have the best. You know what I'm saying? You don't mess with children of God when they're praying. I can't hear y'all. So you, how many of y'all want to be in a commander's position? You got to start praying. I know some of y'all are praying, but we've changed some stuff up here tonight. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to stabilize prayer and sanctify prayer. Make sure you connect it to the vine that your prayer can produce fruit. Make sure you're clean through the word that your prayer can be clean. Amen? Here's another one. Job 42:8. Here's some evidence of prayer power. I'm trying to close now. Job 42:8-10. Job 42:8. Therefore, take up of you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams. All right. You went too fast. I'm going to my Bible. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give me a minute. What I said, Job what? 42:8. I'm going to get in my Bible. Just scared to jump on me again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, this is evidence of prayer power we're dealing with. We saw it with Abraham, with the man who was God had pronounced God changed his mind because Abraham prayed. You didn't hear that? Job 42:8, it says, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. Lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see that, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then the 10th verse says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Deuteronomy 9. No, go back. I saw one. You know we talk about Paul and Silas prayed and the earthquake came and got him out of jail? I'm going to show you one bigger than that. Turn to John. Chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah chapter 1 verse 17. Here's a man who prayed himself out of the belly of a whale. I said Jonah, didn't I? I said it right? J-O-N-H. Y'all know I'm not an academician. I just say words. But they're working. I had Bertha one time. Bertha, won't you know, I was going up and they was calling me to these different places to preach. And so Bertha was going to be my English teacher. So me and Bertha in the class, Bertha told me, said, no, you got to do it like this. So I listened for about an hour or something. I said, you fired. I don't need this. I'm just going to say it like God tell me to say it. Jonah. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lot, and the lot fell on Jonah. Go to the next verse. Let's see. There's Jonah. Praise God. 1:17. All right. Then they said, what verse when he prayed out the well?
Second chapter, first verse.
Second chapter, first verse. Go to the second chapter, Jonah, first verse. Second chapter of Jonah, first verse. Tonight. What is back there for me? Woo! Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish belly. That man in a whale belly praying and prayed and came out alive. Why you can't get out your little situation? Hezekiah, dying, wasn't he? Prayed his way out of death. All right. I'm gonna read this to you, and I'm closing. I've got 8 minutes. How to keep making personal contact, yielding to God's control. Now, we're talking about the true vine of prayer, the true connection of prayer, and the word cleansing for prayer. There you got John 15, 1 through 17, purging, pruning, purification, clearing, cutting, and consecration. This kind of praying, I said it too fast, right? Well, I'm going to say it one more time. Now, we're talking about the true vine of prayer, the true connection of prayer, and the word cleansing for prayer. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, prayer needs purging, pruning, and purification, clearing, cutting, and consecration. Now, you might want to write this down word for word. This is my closing statement. This kind of praying enable us through Christ. This kind of praying, this stabilized, sanctifying praying, this kind of praying enables us through Christ to see what the Father is doing and releases our full identity. Prayer got something to do with your identity, releasing your identity. Your identity is making contact with the Father and the real you come out. This kind of prayer, come on, Junior. This kind of prayer enables us through Christ to see what the Father is doing. How many of y'all want to see what the Father is doing in every situation? And releases our full identity. Now, I'm closing with these two things. It caused you to see what the Father is doing. And it released your full identity. Now, you know what that means, right? Your identity is going to be just like the Father. I know you didn't get it. That's what it means. See, you're going to act. You're going to manifest. You're going to make things happen. Just like him. And most Christians are not going to understand what you're doing. Isn't that sad? Huh? See, your identity is the same identity that Christ had when he was on earth. He never failed. Your failing is over. Don't let your body lie to you, and don't let your wallet or your purse lie to you. Just call it a lie. So you lying. You got nothing in you to do what I need to do. Just call it a lie, because it is lying to you. Because God said he'll bless you in the city and in the field. Praise God.